You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? Here and we are. We're a Magic Card store. We're standing in a Magic Card store.
In Hideo Comics in Santa Monica, we're actually doing a, on the Welcome People to Play Magic Day, we're doing...
Open House.
Magic Open House. We're doing probably the worst format for that, which is a triple Modern Masters block draft.
Not for beginners.
By the way, guys, that's John Finkel hanging out with us right now, hanging out in the studio.
You know, managing hedge funds and being legend.
Marshall
James. Yeah, not a famous Magic commentator or player.
But not at all.
But host of the podcast, Do You Still Love It?
I Still Love It?
That's what I said.
Well, I guess if you're using the intransitive
pronoun. I said, do
pronoun.
You still love it?
It was a combination statement to
right.
ask you and make a statement.
Do you still love your podcast?
I do still love my podcast. It's called Do I Still Love It, where we ask some friends on the show to watch movies or TV shows that we loved when we were kids to see whether or not we still love them now that we're adults.
Sounds pretty sick.
Kessler was on, and we rewatched Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, it was awesome. Power Rangers is maybe, I've said this before because I've shouted out that episode before, the most metal thing I've ever watched.
It's just all guitars. Guitar riffs and robot dinosaurs fighting Godzillas and shit all the time for like half an hour. It's awesome.
Sweet.
So yeah, this is kind of a preview of what we're going to be doing. We have a bunch of people. Jimmy Wong is here.
Yeah, Jimmy's here. He'll probably
Josh Kim,
chatting
who's
later.
Who's also been on previous episodes.
Yeah, so what we've got going on right now, guys, this is going to be a regular episode of the Masters of Modern podcast, but we're about to play a special draft that Kessler organized. He saved packs from the Modern Masters 2013, 2015, and bought some 2017 packs to combine. We're doing a one pack from each set draft right now.
What do you guys think the best draft archetype in this?
Am I supposed to spoil that when I'm drafting against both of you?
Sure. What are you going to force?
Okay, so my default, because I'm treating this somewhat like a chaos draft. Like, I did my research ahead of time, looking at the various archetypes. And my favorite thing to try and draft, if it's open and a chaos draft, is Blue-White Skies, since that has always been a draft archetype in every set ever.
It's always good, yeah.
And then when I looked at these Modern Masters, since Artifacts was a big theme of Blue-White, well, in two of them, and then this year... they brought the shards back, so Esper again. So I'm like, I think I'm just going to try and draft Blue-White Skies and keep open for Artifact. Maybe go into Esper when we get to Modern Master 17.
I'm really looking for some graveyard shenanigans.
Are we drafting reverse order? Or are we drafting?
In timeline order. So we'll be opening the original set first, second set, second, third.
You can
set,
guarantee third. I'm going to go heavy suspend theme and be sorely disappointed.
Spells matter in the other ones. Yeah, no, I think going dredge in the first set and then following up with some sweet psych. Not Unburial. What's the. Well, Unburial rights, but the Unearth in the last set.
Yes.
And just kind of curtailing it in the middle with some good removal.
No, Unburial rights.
No, Barrow Rights in the third set.
But there's Unearth.
The Unearth is the mechanic.
The mechanic for Grid.
I thought you were talking about the card Unearth. I was like, if the card Unearth is legal in Modern, I'm going to lose my mind because I didn't know that.
No,
maybe we'll get it in Hour of Devastation.
I love that
so
card.
So we're gonna do a little shout-out, then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to probably interview each person, see what kind of deck they drafted once we're all done, and then we're going to get into playing, and we'll let you guys know how it all goes. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at the MMCast. Or we are at the MMCast. I am at Kess Wiley.
We are all Negan. No, I'm at Ben Bateman Media. That was a Walking Dead joke. No one watches that show anymore. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and follow my podcast. We're at Do I Still Love It all over the internet. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Do I Still Love It?
Yeah. Sick. Cool, guys. All right, we're going to get into this, and we'll check back in with you a little bit.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye. And we're back. The draft's done. How'd you guys do?
I got two words for you. Summoning Trap and Kozilek.
Oh my goodness.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I opened Kozilek in my second pack and I laughed. I laughed a big hearty laugh and passed it.
Yeah, he wheeled to me. Or no, he didn't wheel to me. He came to me and I was like,
fourth pick?
Yeah, well, because so I started my draft and I was like, all right, first pick, Kitchen Finks, second pick, Tidehollow Sculler, third pick, Kitchen Finks.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, so that seems fine. I was like, that just seems like I'm going to be grindy.
Yep.
And then I was like, but I'll get some fixing. So I took a search for tomorrow and stuff like that. And then in the second pack, when I saw like Mokta Riders, I was like, you know what? This just seems like pretty sweet. I'll just go for this. And then it kept happening. And then I got the summoning trap. And then I, after Kozilek, I was like, all right, I'm just going to ramp into Kozilek and be five color. This is good.
Yeah, that was kind of, I almost did a full 180 when I saw Kozilek in the pack and was like, you know what? This is Jimmy Wong, by the way. Hello.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy's on the podcast.
Yeah. What's up, Jimmy?
Not bad. Not much. Yeah. I drafted a near mono black deck.
Whoa.
And whereas you have Kozilek, I have Grizzlebrand.
Oh, sick. Oh,
so I'm trying to get
a game,
to.
If there's a game where we have like Grizzlebrand versus Kozilek, it's going to be like so money. That's going
to be pretty sweet. I have a feeling
Jimmy draws
that
more
I'll.
Cards, though. But you yeah. have Annihilator. Actually,
he
that's
draws
hard to
four
decide.
Immediately. Annihilator
yeah,
is
yeah.
big.
You
I
draw
mean,
seven
immediately. Here's the thing I can gain the life, but I'll still get annihilated.
Yeah.
But I'll be able to draw a bunch of cards and then get one of my many non existent removal spells.
No. Yeah. So I'm black red.
Okay.
I'm on that sacrifice plan. My
Your deck
the best thing
good
I'm doing though is I have Sword of Fire and Ice. I pack one, picked one foil. Sort like
yeah, that's
this
all skill.
Set
by
was
the
like
way.
All yeah. Well, I'm really just really good. At
your
this
Modern
game.
Masters one packs were like bananas, and we thought that nothing was going to surpass that until the Scalding Tarn foil got opened in the third.
Yeah,
pack.
This was crazy. There was a Tarmogoyf. There was a Fire and Ice. There was a
foil Sword of Fire.
Foil, yeah, both foil Sword of Fire and Ice and Scalding Tarn.
Well, and
yeah.
then also
Alex runs good.
All the rando commons. It was like somebody oiled foil like foil Street Wraith and like foil Lava Spike. It was like, all right, well, instead of opening the crappy commons in foil, we got the good ones.
Yeah, yeah. the there actual modern playables. And yeah. I am playing that Street Wraith, by the way.
I'm playing Street Wraith.
I'm looking forward to either cycling it or swamp walking all over your five color butt. Let's
I think
go.
I think there was two or three Street Wraiths, and there was one point in the draft where I was like, I've seen so many Death Denieds that if I had gotten all the Street Wraiths and all the
that'd
Death Denieds.
So
oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. yeah, I should have obviously, I mean, being the mom black deck, I didn't take a single Death Denied, and that seems just wrong.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw you had like all these Cathari Bombers when I looked over your shoulder.
Yeah, my deck is like very much that red black. Well, I like was very much in the red black sacrifice theme in the beginning, and then I was like, hopefully I get paid off at the end, and I did. And I got like, a bunch of cool decks.
I saw you have like Wrecking Balls and Augur Sprays. Yeah.
Very nice.
In pack three, my tough decision was funny because Jimmy, you and I just like was it earlier today we're having a conversation of Dimrova Horror versus Augur Spray.
Yeah.
At common, and I opened both, and I was already in the five color plan.
Dimrova Horror, I hope you took. Unless did. You didn't have any removal. But Dimrova Horror is removal.
I took Dimrova Horror. I took Dimrova, and the other two options in the pack were Augur Spree, and there was a Woolly Thokter as well.
The Augur, both those got to me, by the way.
And because I was already in three. And then the Woolly Thokter wheeled.
I passed the first Augur Spree for something.
Yeah.
The second one I picked. I passed my pack one perk when I picked a Evil Twin over that. And I was like, I can splash this. This card's really good.
I passed both Augur Sprees. Like, the second Augur Spree
yeah,
I passed.
Yeah, you did. You passed both. I saw two.
I'm trying to remember what I took for the second one, but it had to have been something that was maybe. Oh, I think I took a Signet maybe because I was like already just like, I need
so
more
deep
ramp.
On colors. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I needed some actual ramp as opposed to just selection. I have, like, two Evolving Wilds and a Terramorphic Expanse,
sure.
but...
Very nice.
So other than Grizzlebrand, like, are you just trying to get
I have
the
some
Rothy
Trappers
have...
in there. Okay. I got a little bit of Rebel Scout action happening.
Nice. I originally kind of hated on the Rebel strategy, and then I noticed, like, oh, there's pretty good Changelings in the second pack.
Yeah,
and, like,
so I got a couple of those, yeah, but...
Seems powerful. Sweet.
Yeah, but my big thing is I first picked an Academy Ruins, and I'm going to be going all out with my not living weapons, because those don't go to the graveyard, but my modular creatures.
Oh, modular creatures? Did you get any of the spell bombs?
I did not, unfortunately. I had to pass one spell bomb for the Rothy Trapper, the Tapper.
I hope you got
I don't know if I would have taken the spell bomb.
I don't know, man.
If you had Academy
Ruins,
that's
really
good.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I made a couple of misplays over this draft, but I still feel pretty good about having Grizzlebrand.
I hope you got a bunch of those Mishra's Baubles they reprinted in the new set.
I did not.
What?
No,
they didn't get reprinted. Oh. Just kidding. So your Academy Ruins plan.
I'm like, I
have an Expedition map, though, so I'm going to cycle that to get every land out of my deck.
It's so bad. 5 mana to get a land in play every turn.
Yeah, dude.
Done.
Just shifting it all out there.
5 mana to draw.
Just wait. We might be playing first, by the way, if we're doing cross-pod pairing.
5 mana to draw and play a basic land.
This is really just the whole point for me to bend and know everyone's deck.
Oh, no. I'm out. Bye, guys. Go listen to the Command Zone. Commander, the best. Bye.
So this is Paul. This is one of the other people we're joining.
Hello,
long
everyone.
Friend of both people of the cast. What did you draft?
Well, I drafted red-green. It's pretty much a mid-range deck where I kind of center...
What is it on? You're good. Talk.
I kind of center out around 3 and 4 drops. The idea is to just have a solid early game with some cheap blockers, and then hopefully I can get out a Bloodshot Trainee and pump him up and get some solid control before I can finally round out with some Wolf tokens to kill people or a big dragon.
What was the sweetest card you picked?
I would say the sweetest card I picked is Tarmogoyf. I also have a foil Scalding Tarn, so I feel like I'm playing some real modern here, guys.
You opened all the money, or no?
No, I didn't open either of those. They just got passed to me.
Oh, that's so.
But
sick.
I think they'll be pretty solid in the deck because I got some fetch land. I got one fetch land. I got an Evolving Wilds, and I've got a good mix of instants and sorceries and creatures. So I think it'll pull through.
You're cool. So happy that people aren't keeping their cards that you're keeping all the cards.
Oh yeah, this is a great decision.
Was your stomach just like so warm as the draft was happening? Like,
yeah, the whole time I was really happy about all this really sweet value I've been able to open.
All right, well, hopefully I play you round one and you don't draw any of your fast things because my deck takes like 7 turns to get going.
I'm hoping I don't have to face down a Kozilek.
Yeah.
All right, so this is Alex is back after round one. I lost to my opponent who is now on, and he gets to talk about his deck. This is Sam Abramowitz. Say hi.
Hello.
So what did you draft?
I drafted base green, 5-color good stuff. Got 2 Rampant Growths, 2 Kadama's Reaches, a bit of land cycling. A lot of removal to power myself into bombs, like Balaka Worm, the good stuff.
So what do you think of the format?
Surprisingly fun. Well, maybe not surprisingly fun. Very fun, though.
Yeah, the cards are sweet. We kind of talked about it in the game, like, just generically good cards are going to be better than they normally are, so it's a little bit more sealed-y than normal,
right.
But otherwise...
And Modern Masters is already known for having a lot of generically good cards.
Yeah, so it's, like, really sweet, but also... Yeah, I feel like 5-color good stuff is probably going to be the best strategy.
Right. Yeah.
Like, just, like, thinking about it, I pick the best cards, and I have bounce lands.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my strategy from the get-go. I started... My first pick was Cloud Goat Ranger, which is a pretty insane bomb, and then I went into double Kadama's Reach so I could just play whatever spells.
Yeah, at that point, you're just kind of, ooh, that spell looks sweet. Grab it, and then go for it. Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Anything else you want to say about the...
No, not really.
All right, cool. All right, now next person to draft, Josh Kim.
What's up?
Welcome back to the cast.
Yeah.
How did the draft go?
Draft was interesting.
Okay.
So, like, pack one, I was just trying to keep myself open, so I was picking up, like, the land cyclers, and, I picked up, like, City of Brass early, so I was just trying to keep myself open. There was a couple cards that I picked up that I was like, they might be good later in the draft, like, anything that produces tokens is good with the populate stuff that'll come later.
Right.
Anything with good ETBs, I figured, would be good as well.
Okay, I guess we haven't talked, like, the token strategy itself is probably something that carries over pretty well from 1 to 3, at least, and
yeah.
2 has, like, every set on the planet has tokens in it.
For sure, and, you know, so, like, in Modern Masters 2, I picked up some cards that had Convoke on it, like, the green-white decks from Modern Masters 2 are obviously really good, so I picked up a Sign of the Wild, that sort of thing. Just some value, general value cards like Algae Gharial.
I love Algae Gharial.
Master Mirrors was something I picked up early as well. Even a Spore Sower Thalid, which is just in my deck, just basically a 4/4.
5 mana 4/4 is fine, and then eventually you're like, I got a 1/1.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, whatever.
How did you not kill this? I'm probably winning.
And then the third pack was really impactful, actually, for me, because like I picked up some Splicers, Fists of Ironwood, things that really... benefit from the token strategy. I picked up Arachnus Spinner, which is an absurd card, but I picked up 2 Intangible Virtues. Which
Yeah, that card's really good.
Very, very good. And then I was open on fixing, so I also picked up a Soul Ransom.
So you're just kind of playing 5 colors accidentally?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Because my fixing is pretty good, and so...
Yeah, it seems like everyone's on kind of that 5-color game plan right
now.
Yeah,
yeah, because like there's just a lot of fixing overall. Like you have the bounce lands in pack 2, you have the land cyclers in pack 1, and the pack 3 obviously has like the signets and stuff. So
right.
There's just general a lot of fixing, so I figured I could go.
So what's the most insane card you picked or that you're playing?
Soul Ransom?
Soul Ransom?
I just think that card's absurd. That card's so good. I mean, I did pick up an Iona.
Are you playing Iona?
I am. Probably shouldn't be.
I think that's probably the most insane card you're playing.
Yeah.
Not like, both if you get it into play and you for playing it.
Yeah, I'm insane for playing it. Yeah. I'm hoping to go to turn 12 every time I play this deck. So.
I mean, hopefully I know Jimmy's playing a mono black deck, so hopefully you can kind of get that into play.
Yo,
and
that'd
I think
be sweet.
He has Grizzlebrand, so it could be some Iona versus Grizzlebrand action, which is pretty, at least on flavor.
Yeah.
Avacyn will be proud.
But yeah, I don't know. My deck's really weak on removal.
So yeah, so how did your round one go?
So round one, I played against the red-green deck, which I was dreading.
Which is Paul, who we had, who deck-teched his deck already.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so he's the red-green deck that's playing. He's like the mythic dragon. And
yeah, yeah, so that was
Tarmogoyf.
Tough because proactive threats are hard for my deck to deal with. I want to like establish some, I just want to flood the board and eventually win through like Ulven Wall Tracker, just deleting things
off
the board. But yeah, I just don't have any good removal, which is a problem. So yeah, that's basically, I just got kind of run over.
Right.
The one game I was actually able to kind of slow the game down, I eventually ground out and won, but the other two games I just got kind of ran over.
Got it. Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me. Like the five color and like just base green deck seemed really strong in this format in general. And
yeah.
Like my removal did not match up against the Lingering Souls very well. I had like Augur Spree, the Wrecking Ball, and like one other spell, and I was like, oh, these three mana removal spells are really
not
bad
against
all of your 1/1s.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It's been fun. I was dreading playing against the red-green deck just because like in the third pack, I was like, oh god, all these red cards are so good.
Right.
I figured someone to my left was playing some sort of proactive red-green deck, and of course I get matched up with them, but you know, whatever. It happens.
Yeah, I was hoping to maybe be able to pull off the Burning Tree Emissary into Empty the Warrens deck.
Ooh, yeah.
I do have one Burning Tree and one Empty the Warrens, so maybe I'll get
maybe you can live the dream.
There.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So we're back. We just wrapped up the rounds. Alex and I just played some games, and it's funny. He was playing Esper Colors, but he felt that he saw no good Esper cards. How did you feel the games went?
Yeah, I felt like my cards were a lot less powerful than the cards across the table. So my deck is focusing mostly on card advantage and evasion creatures and some removal, but the power level is just outclassed by the five-color good stuff.
It definitely looks like the kind of deck that I always try drafting in any limited format, which is like reasonably costed good cards, good card selection, things that fly, lots of instant speed tricks.
Yeah, that's exactly the plan I was going for. Hurting on mana a little bit, both games just had a ton of value that I didn't have access to because I was so crunched on mana with the tapper and the blink flashback and just bunch of cards in hand that never got cast.
Blinding Soul Eater is a ridiculously powerful card in limited. Every format I've ever played that card in, that card is just an absolute all-star.
Yeah, I mean, I think I take it super early, even if I'm nowhere near white. I mean, you can play it for the two life a turn. It's likely tapping something that's doing a lot more. But in white, just ton of flexibility. When you're planning out your turn, you can decide whether you value that two life or if you really need that extra mana. And just really leaves your options open.
I mean, I think the lesson that we've learned over time is that Phyrexian Mana was totally, totally, totally busted and broke the color pie, and there's a reason that it's like that and Delve are like the most recently unfair mechanics they've printed.
Yeah, really, really good. Just leaving your options open like that is a lot of value.
Yeah, I did actually in game two get off the summoning trap into Kozilek play against you, but interestingly enough, it did nothing. You had Pillory of the Sleepless. All it did was create one damage a turn for me, and it just didn't do anything. It sucked.
Yeah, it just made it so the other threat didn't get the pillory, and I just had too many threats to deal with, so. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, the games were a lot of fun, especially one. One went forever. I just kept playing big, stupid dinosaurs, just dinosaur after dinosaur, which was great. And, yeah, thanks for talking to us. We're going to go into round two now. Any final thoughts on how you're going to play round two?
Definitely going to focus a little more on tempo because I think the card advantage and the value is there. So I just need to not fall too far behind early in the game.
Bassless Collar, very strong. Almost saved your bacon. And we are back, standing with the victor of round one, Marshall James. We got Jimmy Wong walking in the picture here any second. How'd the games go, Marshall?
Well, they were both pretty good games. Nobody had like mana problems, which is what I really hope for. What I feel like is the most thing you can hope for. I was playing I ended up winning a blue white splash black kind of Esper-y control deck, spell deck, and both games just went long enough to where the card advantage. Game one, the card advantage from a death denied for like five creatures is what allowed me to seal it up, and then this game, an opportunity, like allowed me to seal it up. So it was both games where like we were playing a very attrition heavy game where we're like nickel and diming each other, and I feel like the key was once we both sort of exhausted a lot of stuff, then I had a big card draw spell that allowed me to push it over.
Yeah, opportunity's sick. I have a 7th edition foil opportunity that I bought at one point. Did you know that's like one of those rare, weird 7th edition black border foils?
Oh yeah. And it has like art that is only on the 7th edition one, right? Yeah. I can't even think. What does the art look like?
It's like a pirate or somebody in a capsized storm or something,
oh,
I think.
Right. Yeah, like, oh, man, look at this opportunity I found. Yeah.
Okay. So, opportunity's great. Somebody played opportunity against me as well. So would you say that you feel pretty strongly that you have a good chance going into round two? Like, does your deck feel balanced? Does it feel like, or do you feel like you drew well and it was a good matchup?
I mean, I definitely think I drew well. That was important. There are a couple cards that I'm missing from my deck that I didn't end up with any compulsive research, which is something I really was hoping to grab in our third pack. And my deck's a little frenetic because I was trying to do the blue-white artifacts and didn't find enough to really get there. So my deck is really more just a blue-white skies deck, like I kind of said in the pre-show. And I like it, but I don't have that many ways to close the game out. I only have, like, Arant Ephemeron and some, like, little, like, planning on winning the my spells equal more than your spell. Like, two-for-one-ing as much as possible so that my little nerds can, like, win.
Ephemeron's great. That card's very powerful. I love all of the whole cycle of common. What do you got? You got
Ivory Giant is one that I have, but I'm not playing it, but I always look at it when it's in my sideboard because I feel like, do I just need a 3-4 that, you know, that falters?
And you got what? So Ivory Giant, Giant Dust Wasp, Errant Ephemeron, Keldon Haldebears, and Corpulent Corpse. Is that the five at common?
I believe, yes. Yeah, and they're all like really stellar because they're not the worst when you cast them for full cost. And but they're great if you manage to live the dream and suspend them on like the turn that you want to suspend them on.
I remember back in the day, the good one was Ephemeron. That was the first. That was the pack one, pick one.
I remember like during when Planar Chaos had just come out. I remember drafting a green suspend deck that ended up with like four of those wasps, and the number of times like wasp would come in turn after turn after turn was pretty stellar.
We got Jimmy Wong just waltzed into the picture. He's looking over my deck right now. I got to say, he's I feel violated, Jimmy. How'd the games go?
The games went all right. You did have good draws, for sure. Every time I played a threat, it was immediately correctly answered by the right thing. I didn't have much removal, but the deck was, you know, it's mono black. That's all I have to say about it.
What are the two cards in games that you want to draw the most, and did you draw them?
The games against these first few games, I really wanted to play Swamp Street Wraith, whatever it is, because it has Swamp Walk, but it got Vidalkin bounced both times. And, of course, Grizzlebrand, just every time.
Did you draw or play him in either game?
I did. I was at 8 life, so not a good way to end facing down, like, 4 attackers. So, unfortunately, couldn't get there in time.
Almost, though. You almost lived the dream. I got to Summoning Trap in my game into Kozilek.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it got Pillory of the Sleepless immediately and did nothing. I drew no cards. It was a complete waste.
You couldn't, because you're not casting it, right? Ooh, bummer. Well,
Summoning Trap doesn't even cast it.
So you just sort of had it chilling.
Yeah.
Eh, well, a dream was lived.
It blocked an Augur of Bolas, guys, so that was nice. Good.
Nice, yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah, I'm looking forward to round two. Hopefully my deck will suck a little less. We'll see. Nibor removal, but all good things.
Well, my deck's slow and full of dinosaurs, but I can't wait to try to cast them again. So that was great. Thanks for talking to us, guys.
Okay, now this is weird because, you know, you're not hearing the pause, but we are back, and this time we're at the finals. And guess who's in the finals?
What's up, everybody?
Ben Bateman. Ben Bateman made it to the last round, and he is facing off against Sam Abramowitz.
Hello.
And you guys were 1-1. We took a pause to see how the game was going to go. Can you guys tell me how the first games went?
I mean, I kind of feel like we're both just playing decks full of dinosaurs, but my deck has Grimlock and his doesn't, is the way it really feels. That's like kind of what's going on. Transformers. That was a Dinobots joke, guys. Just in case you're
wondering.
Yeah,
no, I don't think anyone knew what that meant.
I have Kozilek in my deck. I was able to cast it last game, hard cast. It was sick. The best part about it was that I had Sen's Enlistment, which I sided in against him because he has like he has two of that stupid Entwine.
Stir the Pride.
It's like such a beating. He got me for 20 on turn 6 in game 1 with it.
Just yeah. He did that to me twice, too. So like, Sam was the person who kicked me out of the winner's bracket.
So I sided in the Sen's Enlistment just so I could, like, probably on turn 3 play it and have, like, a better chance of surviving the early game beats. And it was in my graveyard early on, and he just watched me play land after land with two cards in my hand, which is, like, very clear what's going on at that point. Yet it still won the game when I cast it, so.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. You had all of those 4/4s to block my 3/3 tokens with after I Stir the Pride at you, and I gained 18 life or something like that.
Yeah, he swung and gained 17 life.
No, I did 26 damage against him my game, and he did not die.
Yeah, yeah. One with like 9 life left.
Yeah, it was unfair.
Yeah, it was a big turn. So that's we have this one game left, and he's going to be on the play for this one, which with ramp decks like ours, that's big news. I just have to hope that I can draw my best card.
If you lose, I'm just disappointed in you. As a Masters of Modern co-host, everyone's...
There's a lot of good Modern cards in here. It's been a lot of fun. I have two Kitchen Finks and a Wiltleaf Leash, which is really exciting. And also Sporloth Ancient, which is that's the weird Future Sight one, the 4/4/5, where instead of removing 3 to make a guy, you only have to remove 2 counters to make a guy. It's like significantly better than all the other ones. And that with a Wiltleaf Liege or a Spread the Sickness to proliferate your tokens or proliferate your counters. Sick.
You can also populate. Do you have any populate cards?
No.
You didn't get all the way there.
But I was able to proliferate a counter.
Nice. Congratulations.
I think it won me the game.
Half a Saproline.
All right, we're going to go into our final match here. So
all right, I'm looking forward to see what happens.
Yeah, any final thoughts, Sam?
Nope.
Who do you think's favored to win?
Obviously me.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is a commercial break between the during the final round.
The
1-1 game we just discussed in the actual
finals. Modern Masters block.
And we're going to take this moment to thank everyone that helped make this happen. First off, the Patreon. Thank everyone on the Patreon. You guys are the best, and you make the podcast happen. The reason we exist is because you guys go. If you go to the Patreon right now, you can also get our secret code. You have to be a donator, but you get our secret code to be able to download the Lifelinker Masters of Modern background, which we're planning on making a little bit rarer.
And what is Lifelinker?
Lifelinker is the new app released by the Command Zone, is a cool life counter app. You can do multiplayer. You can get cool color changes if you pay for the premium.
Does it track poison and...
It does track poison.
Sweet.
Yeah, they'd have to. Craig is a person they play with. You can do it first. But also what's cool about it is a bunch of these different online community members have their own backgrounds that you can download, but you have to go to them to kind of download it. And each one has different ways they're accomplishing it, and it's cool.
Cool.
So you can get, loading ready run. You can get limited resources. You can get Tolarian Community College logos. You can get the Mana Source logos.
Wow, Command all of Zone. Your favorite Magic content creators.
It's like a content creator, collect them all, life counter. And if you go to our Patreon right now, you can download it. Also, thanks to the Command Zone in general. Jimmy was a part of this, and he got to play. He did not get to the finals. So
I had to knock him out in that first round.
I know it's brutal. him and also Josh Kim.
But they were really good games. They were good games. I prefer them to the other games where I just lost to mana problems.
And you won against me in the last round.
It's true. I did. I just crushed... co-host Alex Kessler.
I was too proud. I had sword
unlocked.
I fought
back from one life against sword of
fire.
I'm
bad at magic. That's why.
It's all right. We all are.
Thanks to your podcast.
Oh yeah, thanks to me, to the Do I Still Love It. Check us out all over iTunes, Google Play, and all that stuff. Do I Still Love It for all of your nostalgic needs.
Yeah, so basically what the podcast is you watch with people old stuff they loved when they were a kid.
Yeah, it's great. We have I know a bunch of the people from around LA, creative types and comedians and stuff. We have them on the show to rewatch movies like, The Goonies or Little Mermaid or...
Most importantly, the episode I was on, which is Power Rangers. Go watch it.
Yeah, we watched 5 episodes at random from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, and we came away with wholeheartedly still loving it, and I think right after we recorded, then you and I went back in and watched 2 more episodes.
Yep.
We just got a little drunk and watched 2 more episodes of Power Rangers.
It is one of the... we said it earlier in this episode. It's insane don't watch it by yourself, but if you watch it with other people, you'll heavily enjoy yourself.
Oh, right, yeah. It's definitely one of those things where, I can't imagine watching it by myself because it's just a little too stupid.
Good, yeah.
But you want someone that you can, look at and be like, yeah, that was awesome.
Well, and we got lucky and we kind of watched the consecutive path of, every upgrade that the Zord got
episode. We seem to somehow, for a show that has only, for a show that has 63 episodes in its first season, enough for an entire series run for, Breaking Bad, it has 63 episodes in season one, and we managed to, in the 5 random that we got, hit, every major plot point that was going down.
We got the pilot, then we got the Green Ranger, the introduction of the Green Ranger,
the fall of the Green Ranger, all of the... we hit all the major plot points. So if you have any idea what we're talking about when it comes to Power Rangers, then you know that we hit all these significant things from the
beginning. We got to see the weird Brontosaurus tank that they eventually ride when they combine with the Dragon Zord.
I'm still not exactly now. It's almost... I'm curious. I need to go back and actually watch the show.
Find out where did this come from?
I did not remember a Brontosaurus at all being in the...
I remembered it. I did not realize we would see it, and it's doesn't make any sense of why it exists. But it's sweet.
Speaking of which, have you seen the new Power Rangers?
I saw the movie. Yeah,
how was it?
It's fun. You definitely have to have been a Power Rangers person.
Oh, okay.
Or a teenager, I think. One of those two things to appreciate it.
So if you've never been a teenager, please do not watch.
No, I think at the time, be a teenager.
Okay.
Because
okay.
we took my younger brother, who's 15, 16, and he liked it.
Okay.
But I think he liked it in the way that a teenager would like a movie about a bunch of teenagers doing Power Ranger things.
Yeah.
And then me and the other guy we were with, appreciated it because we liked Power Rangers and had seen it.
So you think if you had been an adult who didn't like Power Rangers, you'd be like, what is this crap?
Yeah, no, yeah, the movie like doesn't, it's not good. But like there's enough nostalgic stuff and it's just like just kind of campy and fun. I've been really appreciative of movies this year. I haven't really seen one I like. I guess like Kong Skull Island is the one I liked the least.
See, it didn't even look very good. I didn't want
to
see it.
It was fine. It just wasn't great. But yeah, so thanks to everyone. We have just found out that Ben Bateman, Master of Modern, has won the Triple Modern Block Draft.
Give me that mic. I'm just yelling into the mic now. I'm closer.
Yeah, so tell me about the game.
It was a pretty intense game, Cotton. it was good. It was turn 5 Summoning Trap into Kozilek.
Oh, that's insane.
it was like play the Summoning Trap and then flip the cards one by one, and there was a seventh card, and I slammed it down on the table, and there it was. Kozilek.
Whoa, that's epic.
In a meaningless game where it's like wins us no money. Alex is keeping all of the
cards.
Oh, man,
I'm so...
not even any prizes.
I'm really mad now that we weren't doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
That would have been an epic Bueller, was... oh, my God, Lightning Helix moment.
Yeah, let's
take that back. Yeah. So, Sam, was that the main? That was the main... Did you have any chance to come back?
No, the Kozilek just like put me way dead on turn 5.
I curved out pretty well with like 2 Terramorphic Expanses in the opener in a 5-color deck with like untapped lands to go with it, Kozilek's Predator on turn 3 after a Signet. So it was like Signet, Predator, Summoning Trap. It was like pretty busted. Yeah.
So what does Summoning Trap trigger off of as a trap?
If they counter something.
Okay. Yeah. So at least you didn't counter anything and like it was really punishing.
I did not counter anything.
Yeah, it was, I mean, like one more turn or like one misstep in that game, you probably win the game just because you have Lingering Souls, you have the 3-3 flyer, and you have the card in your hand.
You're right, yeah.
You can just get me for a million.
So would you guys, A, do this draft again?
100%.
Easily, yes. Yeah.
Super fun.
I'm going to give it to Marshall after I ask questions. And would you, what would you like... say the best archetypes were?
We both were playing 5-color monsters, so I think that's pretty clear.
I think that was pretty easily first.
Yeah, I was definitely envious of Sam, because in Modern Masters 2, like that's far and away, I think, the most fun thing to try and draft is the just 5-color good stuff, because then things like World Gorge or Phoenix or whatever are just like lots of like just fun value cards that are hard to beat. One thing, like drafting the whole block together, I noticed there were certain things like spirits. There are spirits in all 3 sets, and you could have drafted some of the tribal cares about cards and made like a pretty decent Esper Spirits deck.
And multiple changelings, too.
Yeah, and the arcane spells, some of them trigger off of spirit stuff. So like you get kind of that whole... There's that the spirits is one of the 3 lines. I think tokens is another one that I noticed were in everything. Like literally the green-white strategy in all 3 Modern Masters has been tokens. Like correct. This one was Populate. The
what's
one
retail
was
right now on these packs? Like if you were going to try to buy a draft set of this, it's like $40 more?
One is the one that hurts, and one's like $40, $30.
For a pack?
Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't realize it was that expensive.
Yeah, so I bought 10, and it was $200 for 10.
Okay. Well, it was because you bought 10.
Oh, yeah, so it's $20 a pack. Yeah, sorry,
gotcha.
It's $20. Yeah, it's $20 a pack for Modern 1, and then... But I think it's $40 total to
for
play.
For the whole thing?
Maybe 50. I'd say 50 is a safe one.
40 to 50 is not that bad, considering how fun of a throwback it is, and the value of the cards. This is not the same thing as, like, when you play an older draft format, and it's expensive because the product is old, so there's, like, a couple good cards you want to open, but most of it's crap.
Right.
All the commons and uncommons in this, they're all, like, playable and worth money. I think it's actually decent value to buy these sets and do this.
It's still blatantly true. Like, I had this feeling when the set came out, and then even back then, packs were close to $20 anyways, but Modern Masters 1 is just so deep, because, like, Kitchen Finks, Path to Exile, like, all the commons and uncommons, every pack you're opening, you're just like, oh, this is a $30 card.
Yeah, I mean, Street Wraith is a common. Like, Lava Spike's a common.
Everyone was, like, flipping their rares over, and they had these, like, $20, $30 rares. But, like, even the people who didn't were opening, like, Kitchen Finks, Path, Eternal Witness, like...
Yeah. Yeah, and especially because they... Even, like, some of the workhorse cards, like City of Brass and stuff, it's like, well, this still has value. Dev, you guys gone over the value that you got out of this particular... It was insane. We all started with Modern Masters 1, and... I opened a Tarmogoyf, and so we're all like, okay, great.
Yeah, we talked about it a little earlier, but I think I would say the top 5 cards were foil. It was Tarmogoyf, foil Sword of Fire and Ice, foil
Scalding Tarn.
That was the top 3 almost for
easily,
sure.
Yeah.
There was a Pact of Negation, which is like $20, $30. There's a Glimmer Void, which is a chunk of money, I think.
Okay. And
there was a foil Street Wraith, which might actually be more money than we're giving credit.
I think there's also Pact...
There's one other good one that I'm forgetting in my brain. But yeah.
Oh, Kozilek.
Fire, which I.
Kozilek
and Iona, right?
Yeah, Iona, Grizzlebrand.
Yeah, pretty solid
stuff.
Yeah.
We literally got like a big version of the like.
Yeah.
And even like foil lava spike was in there. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we like and that's just and Monomasters 1 was just like all the myth. Like that's the point. Like every pack is foil, and all those foil packs have a chance of being a legitimate card.
Yeah, definitely was a huge amount of fun. I had a blast. I also had a blast beating Sam. So congratulations, Sam. It was a good game.
Thank you. Yeah, good game.
Yeah, I'm glad. And I want to thank, by the way, this is the end of the episode, so I want to thank Heidi Ho Comics for letting us host it here and being awesome. And that's why the noise is a little wonky today. We're literally on, the sound equipment is set on two chairs and kind of on the floor. But Michael Grothy let us set it up here, and it was really awesome. It's a great day. This is the welcome day, so we got to hang out with a bunch of new players.
Yeah, guys, thanks for listening to the episode. Find us on Twitter at the MMCast. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
I'm at Kes Wiley.
Please follow me, Marshall James. I'm at Marshall Unfocused, and also at Do I Still Love It all over the internet. Please listen to my show.
Super cool.
Follow Jimmy at
Jimmy Wong.
Jimmy Wong or JF Wong.
JF
Wong at the Command Zone for podcasts. Follow Josh Kim, who is at Lolzell. I think.
Yes. And lastly, guys, we do this all out of pocket. We make $0 on this podcast, so the Patreon helps us stay alive and helps us like go to tournaments and do all the fun things that we want to do. So, for instance, the Patreon did not pay for this. Alex paid for these packs himself.
Yeah, that's true.
To like buy sound equipment and things and take time to edit it. So if you want to help us out or get the code for our...
Yeah, no, we talked about the Lifelinker thing already during our commercial break between your semifinal and final games in your match.
Patreon.com/TheMMCast. And if you want to catch up daily, I'm on Anchor, the new app, which is Podcast Meets Twitter. Podcast Meets Twitter. Yes. Short form audio. It falls off. It's like 2-3 minutes at a time.
Vine for audio bits.
Yes, it's awesome.
Like a long vine.
Yes, and I'm talking magic every single day. I'm doing like mental magic on there. You can challenge me. I've been doing that every single Thursday, Throwdown Thursday. It's like we call back and forth. It's really fun. So,
and you also started one as well on Anchor.
Yeah, well, I just started up an Anchor for Do I Still Love It at Do I Still Love It. Still holding strong, having every Do I Still Love It out there.
Yeah, you just got to take on a phrase every time there's a new social media. Both of you have to be like, "Ah, Ben Bateman Media, it's me."
Because yeah, we like to do.
No one does Kes Wiley. I'm safe forever.
Yeah, we like to do mini, like little mini Do I Still Love It's on the video part of Instagram. Of when they have more of a visual but I'm definitely excited to explore Anchor.
It's a fun app.
Baitons.
It's a super fun app.
And also a big shout out to Queen and all the other music that was playing in the background because we were in a store and have no control over that. And yeah.
Sick. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.